You're listening to Believe. My name is Nicholas Upchurch. Now, here's an amazing clip from our show in the category of money and business.
But let me ask you this. How much money do you need to get started in terms of investing in multifamily units?
Sure. I mean, I can give you an example of what we did on our very first deal. Depending on the market where you are, you normally buy these deals based on the per unit cost. So our first deal was 25 units. The price was $600,000. We were very fortunate because we got owner financing. The owner actually held part of the down payment as a note. So we needed to come up with 10% of the down payment out of our pocket, which was $60,000. And the owner held a 10% note for $60,000. So, and the rest of it was bank financing. So between me, Jake, and actually my brother was in on the first deal, we needed to come up with a total of $83,000 for this first deal, which if you think about it, it's really amazing. You're owning an asset that's worth $600,000, and you know the leverage is unbelievable. I mean, if you're only putting down 10%, so it all depends on the size of the deal. I always tell people, if you're getting into the space and you're unsure and you're young, the best way to do it is to buy a duplex, rent out one side and live in the other. It's not going to cost you that much. That will help you pay the mortgage and pay part of your, you know, part of your taxes, part of your holding costs. Best way to start. So it all depends where you start. And like I said, if you're going to syndicate and raise money, you don't need money. You can use other people's money. So the answer to that question is a little difficult depending on where you are. But I think, you know, anybody can start. There's those limiting beliefs in life saying that, oh, you know what? I'm comfortable in residential. I know single family homes. It's easy to get a mortgage. But once you get into the commercial space, getting a mortgage on a 5-unit and above, I think is easier because they're looking at the asset. They're not basing it on your credit score, although they do to a certain degree, but they're really looking at the property. They're looking to make sure that the property can hold the mortgage value. So in some instances, it's easier to get a property mortgaged.
So was it an 80-20 and the owner came up with 10 or held 10?
Yep. So it was 80 bank, 10 us, and 10 owner. Yes.
And with closing costs, it was 83 total or something like
yep.
that.
Yeah. And a year and a half later, we refied the property. We pulled out $180,000. So you can see the amount of money that we put it down 80. We got back 180. And, you know, what happened was we got such better terms after we refied that the payment stayed the same. So it was fantastic for us. So you can see the power of leverage, and that money, we just rolled that money into another deal.
Did the value go up, the appraised value, or how?
Yeah. Well, what happened was the net operating income, we took the property over and it was doing, I think, $12,000 a month. That income went up dramatically. It went up to $16,000 or $17,000 a month. And the expenses, we cut the expenses a ton. You know, they were paying for the cable bill. They weren't billing back for utility. So we really slashed expenses. So, you know, commercial real estate is based all on net operating income. Basically, your gross income, take away your operating expenses, and that's your NOI. If you can raise that NOI, you're going to make money. And that's what we ended up doing. So the property, it appraised for a little bit over $800,000 a year and a half later.
Because the monthly income had gone up, your net.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, and what was your mortgage? Down, yes. Okay, on the $600,000. Well, you're paying. You know, you had a 540 mortgage, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what 3-4. I'm trying to even. So what was the mortgage on that?
Yeah, I don't remember what it was. I'm not even sure.
That's interesting. Are the rates similar to residential?
Well, it depends. On this one, it was our first deal, so we didn't know what we were doing. We just, you know, ready, fire, aim, whatever you want to call. We got in, and the rates at the time, they should have been 4.5. We got a 5.5% interest rate.
But you got the deal.
Yeah, we got the deal. We got a 20-year AM, and that's how you learn. I think people are sometimes overanalyzing things, and it's just amazing. Just focus on what you want, not what you don't want. You're going to make mistakes, and mistakes are good because mistakes are how you learn in life. And, you know, it's funny. Somebody told me, I was in a mastermind group last week, and one of the guys said, "Hey, Gino, have you ever really sucked at anything in life?" And I sat there for a second. I said, you know, not really. I really haven't been, other than basketball maybe, I really haven't been bad at anything in life. And, you know, if you really look at that in life and you put that into everything you do, you're going to make mistakes, but that's okay. That's how we learn. And, you know, that's what Jake and I did. And, you know, 700 units later, thank God we got bad terms on that first deal because we learned.
It's not that bad.
Well, no, they weren't bad, but I mean,
not your best, right?
But not exactly. Bad. So, you know, we learned from it, and now we're teaching guys how to get better terms and better rates on their first deal.
So, well, I like that, and that's at jakeandgino.com, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
jakeandgino.com. I recommend people check that out. So I like numbers. So let me, okay. What it seems to me though, your mortgage could have only been, I don't know, $6,000-$7,000. I'm thinking like I'm doing the math in my head.
It was less than that. I think it was maybe $3,500 a month.
Yeah. Cause I had properties years ago, but I had a second. And so you're right. So 12K a month, you were clearing quite a bit then.
Yeah, well, what happens is you on a property like that, you have a 10% management fee because you have to pay management fee. So Jake was managing the property. So, you know, in our operating agreement, he's managing it. He's getting paid 10% because if he's not managing, someone else is. So, you know, operating expenses on a property like that might run you 50% of income. It all depends. So let's say we're probably netting $3,000 a month on that property, you know, cash flow, positive cash flow, which, you know, on a property
right out
like
the
that,
gate.
It's fantastic.
That's amazing.
No, it is. It's great. And that's the great thing about it. And the other thing about multifamily is, like we said, Jake and I were both working full-time jobs. I had the restaurant. He was working as a pharmaceutical rep. So, you know, it allowed us to buy 25 contiguous units on one parcel, a lot easier to manage, a lot easier to handle the tenants. It's all in one location. And all of a sudden, we're off to the races. We've got a little mini business going.
So, well, I like this because, yeah, like in Miami Beach or maybe, I don't know, Manhattan, that gets you half a studio. I actually have friends in New York and you're in New York, right? So in Miami, like if you buy a $600,000 condo, which is a pretty nice place, but you know, around south of Fifth at the end of South Beach, Miami, mm-hmm. you know, that's a one bedroom, right? And you rent that out for $2,500. It's a way different story than what we're talking about here.
Well, the whole what I think every investor needs to focus on, they need to focus on cash flow. See, a lot of guys, they got hurt in 06, 07. They were looking at the capital appreciation. Our whole model is buying, you know, I don't want to get too involved. Some of your listeners might not understand it, but we're looking for properties that service blue collar tenants. We look at it, we call them mom and pop properties. We're looking for properties that cash flow from the gate from day one and then with the ability to add value. A lot of guys are looking at properties for location and going, wait, 3 years from now, we have to buy from day one. It's not about what you pay. It's, you know, it's what you're paying for these properties. So we focus on cash flow. We don't worry about what it's going to do 3 years from now. The capital appreciation, I call it the icing on the cake.
Yeah. And I've only thought about single family. And again, Deltona is a very random Deltona, Florida, mm-hmm. random market where the rents are higher than the mortgage. And so that might be a place somebody might look for multifamily too. So how hard is it to find these multifamilies that do cash flow where the mortgage is actually less than the, you know, what you're bringing in even maybe before some of the improvements, like you optimized to make it 16K, then you took money out. How hard to, you know, some of these residential courses that you see, remember those on TV, you know, different mm-hmm. guys. I mean, some of them are like, you know, and they have people bird dog. Like I looked into this like 10 when I was in college, right? And then it's like, it's kind of hard to find a good deal. Like there's a million people doing it. How hard is it to find these multifamily deals like this?
Well, right now, I mean, the market, we haven't bought anything in the last 18 months. We've got two deals in the last 2 weeks that we put on the contract. We're getting them on the contract now, but we haven't bought anything since March of last year. We're just chasing deals. And part of the problem is we know where the market was. So when you have a preconceived notion of what you're paying, then all of a sudden prices escalate so much, it's hard to chase and we don't want to chase. And I've made the mistake of overpaying. So I'm a little wary, but if you get out there, it's all about networking. It's all about choosing the right broker. It's all about getting to those REI meetings. It's all about talking to people and you have to have your pulse on the market. You know, you have to know what's going on in your market. Is it easy? It's not easy because if it was, everyone would be doing it. But
sure.
I really think if you get out in the market like we did, I mean, I was up at Jake's in Knoxville 3 weeks ago, Hurricane Irma. Mm. I just moved to Florida in June.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, relocated with the entire family. We're here for 3 months. All of a sudden, hurricane's coming. We have to evacuate. And, you know, thank God that I've was able to say, you know what, I can leave for a week. I can afford to, you know, vacate and go. And we ended up having a great time up there for a week. But I was actually able to go look at a couple of deals. And that's what financial freedom does. It gives you the ability to go out and focus on other stuff. And we were up there for the week. We got those two deals down. And it's what it's all about. You have to be in the market and always looking.
Yeah, you have to be on it. You have to be on the ball. And so let me ask you this, Gino, regarding what you just said about the market. What do you think the outlook is? Because the stock market, in a way, a lot of people say it's way overheated, but it keeps going up. What do you think is going to happen with the real estate market? And does that give you caution, or do you feel better? You know, my friend Brooke, who lives in Deltona, she's the broker there. She says that even if there is a correction, the fact that the rents are higher than the mortgage, you know, even if the rents go down a little, it's still paying for her property until the values rise up again, even if it's 5, 6, 7 years. Is that how you feel as well? Or how do you kind of negotiate that with yourself in terms of, you know, are these deals too risky? Should I sell because the market's overheated? What do you think about that?
I have a very smart guy that I met down here. I do Facebook Live calls with him every Wednesday. His name is Len Giancola. Great guy, really super smart guy. And he told me, and I really believe this. He said, I buy with the intention that if prices go back to pre-2008 levels, if I can still cash flow and hold on to them, that's what I'm worried about. You have to worry about eliminating your downside risk. So you have to think of worst case scenarios. So that's why a lot of these deals for me aren't working, because those prices are just, if they go back to 2008, you're going to be in big trouble. So that's what I really look for.
Why
would
somebody be in trouble? If you could lay it out for somebody that's maybe just getting started.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Well, let's say you're buying a property and you're paying $200,000 for it, you know, and the price really drops precipitously, and all of a sudden, not even the price, let's just say all of a sudden the economy tanks and let's say you have four units and two of those units go vacant. All of a sudden you can't pay the mortgage because there's a lot of vacancy in that property. That's what I'm more worried about more than anything else. I mean, the long-term indicators are great for multifamily because, like we said, there's going to be demand. I mean, you know, affordable housing is really difficult out there. There's less people buying properties. I'm just thinking in the intermediate term, we might have a correction because the economy has also been growing for the last 6 years. So we haven't had a quote unquote recession. So the thing that would scare me would be a recession more than anything else, if people losing jobs. But that's why, how you can counter it by saying, let me be in a stronger market. And I think the Southeast and the Southwest have some, and even states like Texas have strong job markets. That's where you want to be. So then if there are jobs that are being shed, those will shed the jobs the latest, and you'll at least be able to keep your properties full. You can always drop prices on your rents, but if you have to drop rents prices so much that you can't pay the mortgage, that's when you get in trouble. That's why people are overpaying right now. And if those rents have to drop because all of a sudden there's a lot of supply in the market and there's not enough people renting these things, that's what makes me most fearful.
Sure. So what is the number that they're assuming rents could drop? This guy that you do the calls with on Facebook Live, because the values could drop a lot, but as long as the rents stay sturdy, you know, like we said, you can pay your mortgage until the values might rise up in 5, 7 years. What does he think the rents could drop? Does he plan for 20%?
He's in a different business. He does vacation rentals. Okay. So he's a little bit different. But I'm just saying, for us, for multifamily, what's been going on over the last 6 years, you probably know this, rents have been going up on average 6 to 7% a year for the last 5 to 6 years. That can't continue. So guys, what they do is when they're looking at deals, they're projecting that rent growth in perpetuity for the next 4 to 5 years. If you're underwriting or you're analyzing deals based on that, you're not giving yourself any downside risk. You're already, you know, best case scenario. So there's no room. So if all of a sudden we get a little bit of slowdown and rents don't grow for a year or two, you're in big trouble and you're trying to project rents. So I'm just telling people, be very conservative when you're underwriting deals. Look at the actual numbers of what a property is doing. People like to give you something called a pro forma, which they say is going to happen 3 years down the road. You want to know what they've done for the last 12 months and base your calculations on what they're actually doing in today.
Yeah. And people should probably build in, again, if they go down a little, right? Not that we want them to, but I mean,
that's right.
Yeah. I mean, if they're going up 6-7% a year, eventually, not only might it stop growing, but it might go down a little for a while.
That's right. Well, and that's what happened. We bought our first property in 2013. the rents for a two bedroom we assumed were $450 a month. Now you're looking at October 2017, those same two bedroom apartments, they're renting for $650 a month. So you're talking $200 a month on a $450 unit. That's 50%. That's a tremendous amount. They were under rented, obviously. There was a lot of value, but still, you're talking a good, you know, 10-12% per year for the last 3 years. That's huge, and that's not sustainable because people, there's only so much they make. They're only making $14-15 an hour. They're not making any more, so you can't, you know, those rents really can't go up that much more.
So if it got back down to $450, would you still be okay in that case?
On that property, we would probably be cash flowing a little bit. Yeah,
that's
good.
Yeah,
no, it is. Exactly, because we're not over-levered. We're not over-leveraged on the property.
That's great, because then you could ride it out, and then on the backside, hopefully you get another spike.
Yep.
You know, and it might even go higher than it was. You know, it might go higher than 650. Who knows? Yep. And it might not drop, right? But at least you're ready. Mm-hmm. That's great. So, so in terms of people getting started with real estate and because you're right, people are jumping the gun. People get frantic, especially when things are good, right? I've noticed this. When things are good, especially there was that movie about the 2006 time, which I lived through that time in Miami. I know Jonah Hill was in it. Did you see that with the mortgages and everything going on in Miami? It was within the past 2 years. There was a movie about the whole time when it was just, people are going crazy. Everybody was a real estate agent. It was, you know, do you feel like that is what's going on now? And all, in that being the case, how does somebody really get started and not get too excited and just pay too much?
That's a great question. I think what you're seeing now, and I said it since Jake, when you know it's a little bit overheated, it's when people start making money in spite of themselves. You know what I'm saying? It's like almost anybody can make money in the market. And hey, listen, it's great. I mean, Warren Buffett, you know, he says be greedy when people are scared and be scared when people are greedy. So I think that's another mantra, and you see it going on. And you always hear guys, you know, who are taxi cab drivers talking about the stock market and being day traders and waitresses who are being real estate agents. I wouldn't say we're there. I just think things are a little bit different this time. I think banks are on a lot sturdier foundation. I think the overall economics are a lot better than they were 7-8 years ago. You know, that being said, I think you just really have to focus, and you really have to do your due diligence. When you get into a deal, you have to know whether you're going to be investing with somebody, do that diligence on the sponsor, or really pay attention to where you're focusing on. Not so much the deal. Focus on your market first. And then once you pick the market, focus on the deal itself.
Are there any tips? Because I love what you told us already. Are there any tips you have? You know, people talk about how to find properties that are not on the MLS, how to find, you know, some people have people out bird dogging. They pay referral fees. I mean, a lot of this stuff is talked about a lot. A lot of it works. But then again, Even I know that I had some properties, you know, so I'm not completely like a newbie. I actually did over 100 transactions. I had a brokerage and everything. But my point is, so I'm not completely new, but I know a lot of these things are talked about. Is there anything, any tip that you know of in terms of finding a good deal? Maybe just one that you can think of off the top of your head that somebody could do to find a property that's kind of like, you know, maybe flying under the radar.
Well, the first thing I think anybody needs to do in real estate is they need to find a motivated seller. I think that's what we focus on, the mom and pops. You need to focus on somebody who's having an issue or having a problem and they're motivated to sell. Because if they're not motivated to sell, then you're not going to get a deal on it. And that's, I think, with anything in life. I think you need to find the true motivation. I think once you start looking at a deal, find out why they're selling. I mean, you have to learn how to negotiate with people, learn about what their problem is, and learn how you can solve their problem. And that's what we did in our first deal. We had a motivated seller, and every single one of our properties falls under that umbrella, a mom and pop. Mom and pop can be 10 units. It can be, you know, 281 units that we bought, and they have all very similar characteristics. They're either landlords who are burned out, who have no systems, who are just motivated to sell, whether it's through a divorce, whether it's through a partner acrimony, whether it's through infighting with a family member, whether it's just they just want to get the heck out, or whether in our case, our first deal, they just want to retire. You have to focus on that. I think the next thing is, if you're in real estate, you really have to, you know, network. I came down here and I've met a couple of guys down here. I met that guy, Len. All of a sudden, I'm doing deals with Len. I mean, it's just amazing. You find the synergy. You want to be with like-minded people. You want to, you know, get in that space. And what I'm doing down here, I'm getting my real estate license, not because I want to sell real estate, but because I want to network with other real estate brokers. I think that's where everyone can start. I mean, I had my license up in New York. I want to jump on down here. I want to get my license down here. And you just start meeting people and start talking to people and telling people what you want to do.
I always love telling people 360training.com, which we have no affiliation with, 360training.com, the Florida online real estate school is like $50.
Yeah,
it's crazy. I mean, the cost of that, and then there are other fees, the association fees, like $700 a year.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, it's maybe $100 to take the test. So,
yeah,
you know, and you don't even necessarily have to join an association. So it's really, to get started in terms of getting your license, it doesn't cost that much. It's actually a little bit harder than it was 10 years ago, because I actually got mine again after being traumatized from the 2008 crash and all this. And then, so I took it again. And it's actually a little harder now. It's not super easy, but it's definitely doable. And the cost is so low compared to universities. But then they also don't teach you how to make money in real estate school. So you need to find somebody like Gino. So Gino's site, and we're going there now, is jakeandgino.com. And I recommend going here because you can learn so much about real estate. There's a lot of stuff you can access for free. Get free access to Jake and Gino's course that has changed the future of both seasoned and new investors. For a very short time, they're offering completely free access to this course. So you can click, you can watch a video from Gino. So that's jakeandgino.com. And I really love what Gino has told us today. I think it's so valuable because, you know, as MC Lobsher said on Cashflow Ninja, which Gino and I have been on that show, owning multifamily real estate is like owning a business. It's not just the flipping. And so I recommend going to jakeandgino.com. I think he's given us so much valuable advice, and there's so much more that he has available. So they have live events. It's definitely worth looking into. Nobody knows 100% what's going to go on with the market, but it's definitely worth looking into. And I also want to tell you about, before we leave today, 99 Designs, because Jake and Gino have a beautiful website. If you go right now, and I'm going to do this now, I'm going to type in www.believe.love/99. If you're worried about designs, because as you saw, Jake and Gino have a beautiful site, 99 Designs lets you put a contest up. So you can put a contest up, you can get beautiful designs, and it says here, design is the secret to great business. And when you visit our sponsors, it actually, you support the broadcast. But if you're kind of on the fence in terms of starting your business, getting a great website, 99 Designs, in my opinion, is really awesome. It's super simple. Just tell them what you need, pick a design package, and wait for designs to roll in. And then you can choose the design that is the winning design, from logos, merchandise, and packaging to web design, business advertising, and more. So definitely check them out, www.believe.love/99. to get that. So thank you for joining us on Believe. Our website is believe.love and youtube.com/believe loves you. We want to help you to succeed. We want to help you to feel happy. True success, of course, is one of our categories, but we also want to help you to make money. We all have to pay bills. And so guys like Gino Barbaro have really given us some valuable advice. And so thank you for joining us on Believe. I hope you have a great day or night, wherever you may be.